The word love, or derivation thereof, is mentioned 22 times, I think, between the first reading and the gospel that I have just shared with you. So the obvious theme of the readings this weekend is going to be love. Now, the word, that four-lettered word, means so many things to so many people, but in Jesus' time, in the Mediterranean world, it might just be helpful to understand what love really meant, to help put Jesus' words into context. The love in the Mediterranean world, that when people express their love, had very little to do with a physicality, the romance love at all. Very little to do with that. If we changed the word love to what it meant in the Mediterranean mind, you would start to get a greater understanding of what Jesus did, why Jesus said what he said, particularly tonight and in the second reading from 1 John. So if you take the word love away and you replace it with the Mediterranean understanding, which is attachment, you start to then get a very different understanding. It is attachment. And perhaps the best example to bring them together that I can use to explain to you is how marriage works in Jesus' time in the Mediterranean world. It wasn't to do with romantic love, because when the man married the woman, he still lived in his father's house, lived under the same roof as his father. And so he said, he would say that it is the attachment that he has to his family. And we're told in Scripture that the groom cleaves to his wife. That's the word. So it is a physical thing, but it's actually that he takes her and she now becomes attached to him. It sounds a little clinical perhaps to our Western mind, but when you have the word love used so many times, as I said, 22 times, we start to become a little blasé about the true meaning of the word. When we turn the radio on and every second song has got the word love mentioned in it, we start to become love numb to the true meaning of the word love. And when we come to Mass and we hear the readings and we're told God is love and what I want you to do is to love one another, unfortunately, perhaps now it's become just a little bit ho-hum. But when we start to understand that God is love, means we are attached to God. But, as we also hear tonight, God first attached himself to us. God doesn't love us because we're good. No, God just loves us. We are made good because God loves us, because he is attached to us. It starts to change the emphasis in the relationship a little bit. And Jesus uses that attachment and the language of attachment to explain to his disciples just before he's due to go to Gethsemane. This is the continuation of the previous week's readings. He's explaining to them his attachment to God as Father. And because he is attached to God as Father, he has attached himself to the disciples. They didn't attach themselves to him. He went to them. And then reinforced in the last part of the gospel, I chose you. And sometimes I think we have this idea that I'm close to God because I'm doing all the right things and it's me who's the instigator of the relationship, this attachment, this love relationship. Well, it's actually not. God is the instigator of the relationship, and he gives us that example through his Son. And that's the only reason why Jesus became as man. And as all men are, we're told, he was humbly yet, even humbler unto death. And that's probably the only way that we can understand who God is because of the example of his Son, that he attached himself so much to us that he was prepared to die so as not to break the attachment of God the Father to that which he had created, you and I. That's the entire purpose of Jesus' mission and ministry, is to demonstrate the love that God has for his creation, but particularly for each and every one of us, because we are the highest part of his creation. But what does love mean for people who have not really experienced love? It's a word for some people that would just be a complete void because they have not experienced what I've just been talking about. Their love may well be confused. Their love may be actually painful. What if the most recent example would be those twin girls that were taken by their mother 4 years ago from Queensland and were only found yesterday after 4 years and returned to their father? What do you think those little girls would say the definition of love is? To the woman who gets beaten up by her husband, and I have been involved in these situations, and I say, we've got to report this to the police because this is not right. And she goes, no, I can't do that. I said, why can't you do that? Because I love him. That's more than a confused, painful love. That is not what we're talking about. Your definition of love will be very different than what mine is, perhaps particularly if you're married or you have attached yourself to another person. It was Van Gogh who said something like, I can love as much of creation as possible. That's the way I come close to God. So that's not so much a love of things, but of creation. It's a state of being which transforms us into a state of doing. That's the love that Jesus is talking about. And the last thing that I'll throw in there with his kind of love is that he mentions the word joy a couple of times. It's even used in the opening prayer tonight when love and joy are mixed together. And I have read that the amount of joy that we have is in proportion to the amount of love that we share with others. If we're not a joyous person, then the chances are we're probably not experiencing love or giving love. If we're a relatively joyous person, then there is love in our life. And if there is love in our life, you have experienced God, because God is love. So no need for scientific proof for the existence of God, because God is love. And that's not some grand thought of mine. That's simply the way that creation works, because he breathes life into us. So I guess my prayer would be, because I've been trying to leave you with a couple of little prayers in these recent weeks, is, Lord, don't let me die just yet, because I have not loved enough.